If ever there was a more eloquent description of the Messiah and the reign of peace and justice that the Messiah will establish for all the peoples of the earth, I have not known it. With rich images and even richer prose, Isaiah of Jerusalem, the first reading, shares with us the same vision, I think, that has filled hearts with hope and joy for almost 3 millennia now. All that anyone ever wished for or wanted for is there. I know this was what I had hoped for in our president-elect and for all leaders of the world, actually. Huh? Isaiah says a leader who is endowed with God's own spirit and with God's given gifts that will ensure good and wise and just leadership. A leader who champions the afflicted and the poor. A leader for whom all the nations of the earth will acknowledge and accept. A leader during whose reign there shall be no more animosity, no harm or ruin. Knowledge of the Lord will prevail. Everyone will know God and be known by God in a relationship that knows no end. That's Isaiah's vision. Like I said, I've never heard such a more eloquent description of the Messiah in the reign of peace anywhere else. But before this leader and this reign were to be established, preparations had to be made. And to that end, God sent prophets. And nearer to the time of Jesus, John the Baptizer was sent as a herald. And we see him today in the gospel crying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." There in the desert of Judea, John called for a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of lifestyle that people would need to undergo in order to welcome the one who was to come and baptize with the Spirit and with fire. You see, John's mission was to gear the people up, to remind them of how all the promises of old assured them that the broken world that they knew was neither the will of God, nor was it to be definitive. And so, relying on his own religious traditions, John interpreted his times, and he preached that God would soon intervene. But the people had to be ready if they were to play their part, if they were to be part of what God was about to do in their midst. So John's baptism was a sign of their preparation. It was a proclamation of each one's desire for change of mind and heart and lifestyle. So John stirred up the hearts of his people, reminding them that the shallowness of their lives and the institutional injustice of their society was sin, and therefore was unnecessary and was vincible. So John's message was to drive home. His mission was to drive home the message that the way things were was not the only possibility, that God had something much better in mind. John's apocalyptic images were geared to explode every sluggish mindset. He wasn't saying that there wasn't any good in his society. There was fruit-bearing trees, and there were wheat as well as chaff, But it was a time for a major shakeup. And John wanted each person to judge his or her own life, sifting weed from grain, and then to go into the water and to come out renewed and ready for what was to come. So in this Advent season, we have John calling us to repent. It's a hard time of year to proclaim a message of metanoia, to tell people to change your minds and hearts and repent. I mean, after all, it's Christmas time, isn't it? Lighten up, Father Richard, you know. Be of good cheer. Everything's fine. No, it's not. No, it's a tougher sell than is the typically intended, well, let's put Christ back into Christmas campaigns. That's an easy sell. But repentance? I don't think so. That's why we need John the Baptist to force us to ask, is this all there is? Is this all there is? While the metanoia message may seem to be a downer in the holidays, I think it's truly the only way to get at the meaning of this season. But many people don't even celebrate this season anymore. Catholics don't celebrate Advent anymore. Just go right to Christmas. Thanksgiving, right to Christmas. No preparation for the coming of the Savior. Give us the little child Jesus on Christmas Day when thousands will come, and then the rest of the year, or we'll come back on Easter. No. John the Baptizer will always seem to be a voice crying out in the wilderness, and it's the task of today's prophets to remind others that too much of this world is a wilderness of our own creation. And that's precisely why we can hope for change. And that's why we can work for change. Because most of this mess that we've made, all of it actually, is our own creation. We live in a time when terrorists threaten our sense of security. When wars are raging around the world, when race relations in the United States is very tense, when climate change is a major threat to the future of the planet. We live in a time when people are struggling to how to cope with all the negative things that are happening and all the negative news that assaults us day after day. How do we celebrate Advent in such times? Can Advent offer us a helpful response to our fears and to our concerns? Well, I think there's two basic ways to respond to those concerns. One is negative and one is positive. On the negative side, you might rail against evil and all the evildoers, and taking your lead from John the Baptist in today's gospel. Or you might give in to fear and despair, deciding, well, the world's coming to an end, what the hell, just let it go. Nothing you can do about it, right? Or you might allow hatred or prejudice to take root in your heart, especially aimed at those who threaten us, and who threaten you, who look different than you. But on the other hand, we might take our cue from Isaiah in the first reading. He did not live in easy times either. Jesus didn't live in easy times. And yet, Isaiah was able to hold on to hope that God has better things in store for the human race. And we must hold on to that same hope. And he foresees a peaceful kingdom where the lamb and the wolf lie down together, and where there shall be no more harm or ruin on God's holy mountain. This is not just a pipe dream, my brothers and sisters. It's something we must strive for. And it helps to remember that the world has faced many troubled times in the past, and we have always found our way through. And we can do the same today if we embrace God's will and God's ways. And ultimately, because we believe in God, hope is the message of the day. And I think today's loudest voice in the wilderness may well be Pope Francis in his Laudato Si, or the care of the common home. So he invites us to pray. May this be your prayer as well. Let us pray the prayer of Pope Francis. Triune God, wondrous community of infinite love, awaken our praise and thankfulness for every being that you have made. Give us the grace to feel profoundly joined to everything that is. God of love, show us our place in this world as channels of your love. O Lord, seize us with your power and light. Help us to protect all of life and all life, to prepare for a better future, for the coming of your realm of justice, peace, love, and beauty. Amen.